This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
Hello once again, everybody. Welcome to an all-new episode of the Polykill Podcast. As always, we're your hosts. To my right, every time I do one of these, is Jake. You can find him on social media at the McAxel. And Jake just got a brand new car.
I did. It's not really brand new, but yeah, I got a new car.
Well, it's brand new to you.
It is.
What year is it?
2009.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know they made Honda Fits in 2000.
Yeah, sure. Well, they made it back in 2007.
Get out.
I would.
Huh.
In my Fit.
But you do like it?
Love it.
That's great, man.
It's real nice. It's real nice.
Cool.
Yeah, one owner, locally bought, locally maintained, and then traded back into the same dealership to get a new car. So I was like, hey, I'll take it.
Life's a circle.
It is. It is a circle. Also, with me on this podcast is every Polykill is Trav. You can find him on social media at Trav Plays Games. And Trav, why don't you tell us a little story about your phone?
Yeah, so last night we were sharing an experience over the text waves, if
right.
you will. You
yes.
know, we're watching our beloved Virginia Tech Hokies get completely pommeled
yes.
in a high stakes game of football.
Football.
And I had it on my lap, and I got excited one time, went to yell at the TV, and it slung off of my baggy sweatshirt right into my entertainment center, and now will not turn on. So I'm without a phone for another at least 24 hours.
Ow.
Yeah.
It hurts.
It does. It does hurt. I'm very dependent on it.
Yeah.
And I realize this now. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, but more time to play the Nintendo DS, I found.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. All right. Let's get down to the business meat of the show.
Business meat. Now, before we get into the real good business meat.
Right. I mean, this is like the marbling on the outer
yes.
fridge.
Yes.
This is the seared part.
Uh-huh. With like the Monterey steak flakes
yeah.
sprinkled upon.
Yeah, that's what you get now, the crunchy bits.
Mm-hmm. We last week we released the Off Kilter 11 Spooky Stories.
Had a good time with that.
That was a lot of fun. I'm still actually, I sometimes giggle thinking about JD wandering through foggy Normandy, high as balls, looking for his parents.
That's amazing.
That's a good one. But there were some spooky ones in there, so
yeah.
thanks to everyone who contributed a story there. And
if you didn't, then maybe next time you should.
Yeah, maybe next time you should. And maybe next episode of the Off Kilter you should, because it's going to be about pet peeves. Everybody's got them. We want to know what grinds your gears.
Yeah. What upsets you? Is it catchphrases? Is it people dragging their feet? Is it, you know, nails on a chalkboard? Actual nails on a chalkboard? You know, what is it? What is it? Let's get swifty.
Yeah, get it out of your system. Send
yeah,
us an email to polykillpodcast@gmail.com, or you can DM us at Polykill, and let us know, really, what gets under your skin. We want to know. Maybe we've been doing it. Like, maybe it's ice in a cup when
yeah.
you're doing a podcast jostling
that.
About. Maybe it's that just really just, it makes your body so tight that you just want to explode into a confetti of fire.
Wow.
Because you're angry about it.
Confirety.
Yes. So go ahead and do that. That's going to be in a couple weeks from now, but go ahead and get them in.
Yeah.
Go ahead and get them in.
Send them on.
All right. So now it's time for the meat, the cut.
Right.
The
yeah.
actual.
We're slicing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Slicing it.
The gooey part of the meat that we like to call recent pickups and on the radar. Picked up a few things. I picked up a lot of things because I collected the game, so I'm always
right.
my intake is a big thing, but I only usually tell about the notable ones here.
Right, sure.
But I did get the the PS4 has been in my possession here for a couple weeks, and the Amnesia Collection is part of the PS Plus,
and
I thought that'd be a good one to pick up. That might be a good little bro op
yeah.
Experience.
First one's pretty good. Second
mm-hmm.
one's meh. But
that's exactly what I've heard. Yeah.
yeah, Machine for Pigs. I mean, a great name for a game, but not nearly as good as the first, from my understanding.
Cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to at least trying or giving it a little bit of dabble action, if you will. Also picked up Super Bomberman for the Super Nintendo. Real excited to
nice.
Get a hold of that. Yeah, that ice. Yeah. That's allowed.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, it's fine. I've been real excited to play that, and was glad to pick it up. And basically, there's not really a fun story to it. It's just that I did go to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Oh, out there where?
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvester.
Mm-hmm, Pennsylvester up there. And I spent a couple days up there for a conference. And of course, you know, when I'm away, I tend to scoot around town looking for video games to
Absolutely.
Buy. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And so I scouted out a couple stores, and there's not really a whole lot in the city
not
itself.
Not a lot.
not a lot in the city.
I don't know.
Itself.
Okay, I believe you.
It's mainly a lot of just eateries and piss.
Okay.
And smells. But then you get out of the city a little bit into some of the suburb areas. You get to some game stores. You get some fun stuff like that. And I found a game store that might be the best one I've seen.
Oh,
now,
shit.
I say that. I've been on some show floors like East Starland, that kind of thing.
Right.
But this is like, you know, your mom and pop just sort of having a game store on the shelf,
right,
kind of thing. And it's called Classic Game Junkies. It's actually in Glenside, Pennsylvania. It's about 20 minutes north of Philadelphia downtown city proper.
Uh-uh.
And it was great. And, you know, prices were good. They have a ton of, like, boxed stuff. They had a Hagane there, which is a really rare, sought-after Super Nintendo game. Really neatly organized. I mean, I was really impressed with it. I spent probably an hour in there just looking around, not even shopping, just sort of in awe of. There's a lot of things there I hadn't seen in person before. It was kind of thing.
So that's nice.
So that was fun. So I'd encourage anybody, if you're in that area or you're driving through Philadelphia, to go to Classic Game Junkies there in Glenside.
Tell them Polykill sent you.
Tell them Polykill sent you. They won't know what the fuck you're talking about. also, on the way home, I stopped at a place. It's getting kind of dark on the way home, and I stopped at a place in Hagerstown because I was like, well, game shops are about to close. Let's see what this town's got.
Sure.
And
see what old Hager did.
Yeah, and I went to a place called Cartridges Galore, and this is where I picked up Super Bomberman. And it's just, it was sort of a typical game store.
Right.
Didn't really stand out. But what did stand out was I had parked, and then I was going to grab something to eat, and then I kind of moseyed along the strip mall, kind of had to go down a street, and got to this game store and went in. And then they were talking, and the guy in there was like talking to another dude, and he's like, hey, man, did you hear what happened last week? He's like, no, what happened? He's like, I'm going to stop riding my bike around here and walking home, man, because it's like last week, like right around the corner over there, some dude got stabbed like 6 times, and he died, like right there. And the guy was like, no way. He's like, that's crazy, man. Hagerstown's a crazy place, man. And he's like, dude, I know. I mean, I'm starting to, like, I'm locking the doors here, you know, extra, like really extra locking
extra?
Them.
Yeah.
Like, he was just really concerned about it, and I was like trying to think about what he was talking about. He's like, yeah, you know, like, you go around the strip mall, like down the alley, and it's back to the left. I was like, oh, it's exactly where I fucking park my car. So that was fun. So
well, I mean, lightning doesn't strike twice in the same place. I can't say anything about a serial stabber.
You would hope not. Yeah. But yeah, so I just, you know, a little weary. But
yeah,
everything was fine. Everything was safe. You know, yeah, I got a game out of it. You know, and I could have been jumped. They could have stole my Bomberman. Right. But thankfully,
but you made it
turned out okay. But there was a little hair raising when he was describing it. And I was like, wait a minute, that's exactly where my car's parked. You say people get stabbed there routinely. Huh.
Nice.
Ain't that something?
And routinely, you mean 6 times.
And you mean in the dark. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Get that, and then lastly, Target doing that thing they do.
They did. They do that thing that we did.
That buy is it buy two
get one?
Buy two get one.
Yeah.
Right. So, and you want to take advantage of that by getting, you know, the higher dollar games.
Yeah, there's some new releases that you want to get. It's always a good plea to get those.
Yeah. Yeah, so we split it between me, you, and Brian.
Yep.
Each of us got a game and pulled the money. And I went for that Far Cry 5 pre-order. And I don't pre-order much.
You don't? But you're pretty excited about it.
You know, I'm pretty stoked about Far Cry 5. It might be the game on the horizon for me that I'm most excited about, save for Red Dead.
Okay.
Two, I mean, it's going to be a good spring, I think.
I think so, too. So, yeah, nice.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll dovetail.
Hmm?
To me? Is
yeah.
It my turn?
It's your you, judge you. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So, on my radar, have you talked about your radar yet? You haven't.
No, I just did some pickups.
Pickups. Okay, so pickups
for
me.
Yeah, you should pay attention.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. It was busy, you know, producing the show. Mm-hmm. Now, for me, my pickups, a lot of you probably already know, and that was Super Mario Odyssey.
Yeah.
For the Nintendo Switch.
And that was it. It was a good week for gamers, man.
Man, a real fucking good game.
Yeah,
I
you let me
it.
Dabble in a little bit. I was drunk.
You were very drunk. Don't know why I handed you the Switch.
Yeah. Could have been your loss.
Yeah,
it turned out fine.
It
was a dinosaur for a little bit.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
So pick that up, and then on the buy two get one side of things, the one that I chose was Assassin's Creed Origins. And I guess we should probably mention that we also got, well, Brian, I guess, sort of got, we all sort of agreed on all three of them, basically. But Brian picked up, so we'll eventually play Wolfenstein 2, New Colossus.
Yep, it's in the family of games that get passed around among us. So.
Yep. So, yeah, decent, you know, set of games, and we all basically chipped in $40 and got those three games. So,
yep.
Worked out well.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about really playing all those. I'm eager to see how people react to Assassin's Creed Origins.
I mean, review wise, people love it. You know,
that's great.
It's nines and tens all around. People say it's like, you know, what it should be. So I'm really excited to get back and play it. I don't know why. I had this most of you know I don't really have a huge nostalgic thing. I'm not like big in it, but like I'm nostalgic for like 4 years ago. Like that's about as far back as I go. But something about it being winter and playing Assassin's Creed just kind of makes me happy.
Really?
I don't know why. It's just like
it's usually nice, not in cold.
They're not in environments, right?
Yeah, they don't really tie themselves.
Three had one a little bit, you know, it was in the snow a little bit,
right? But that was awful.
Yeah, it was awful. But I don't know. It's just like time of year, and it's like, oh, this is fun. Assassin's Creed's out, new Call of Duty's out. Not that I'm going to get it, but I don't know. I just like this time of year, so I get nostalgic for it. But yeah, that's it.
That's cool, man. So, what do you think you'll get to that? You got a lot of games.
AC?
Yeah.
Well, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm probably gonna wait to play that until I get the 1X because it's like super duper enhanced on it and in 4K and all that shit. So probably when I get the 1X, which I don't know when that'll be, hopefully not terribly far from now, but we'll see. And then once I have that, then I'll probably play it. I'm probably going to beat at least two other games before I jump into that, maybe three. But
neato. Yeah.
Yep.
Got a plan. That's good.
Got a plan.
On my radar.
On your radar.
November 7th through November 20th.
Yeah.
Looking at that Need for Speed Payback with a squinted eye, because I want it to be...
you want it real bad?
Well, I want it to be so much like Hot Pursuit.
Mm, yeah.
A game that came out at this rate maybe 7-8 years ago.
A long time.
But I really enjoyed it. It was good amongst our group of friends. We enjoyed, you know, chasing each other down in cop cars, and it was sort of a car battle and a race game all in one.
Without being Twisted Metal or something.
Right, yeah. Which I have nothing against.
No,
you know.
But it's just more fun when it's just driving.
Yeah, car combat is I'm a huge fan of that. So this was, I mean, I'm really excited. It sort of looks like it might sort of tie itself well to Hot Pursuit. It has a lot of familiarity between the two. Goddamn that ice.
Yeah, it's
It Sorry. Comes out November 10th, and PC, Xbox One, and PS4, so not on the Switch, but everything else.
Yeah,
so excited about that.
Figure it'll be on Switch.
L.A. Noire Remastered. Now,
yeah, this is a weird one for you.
You know, L.A. Noire is a game I think about all the time. I really do.
That's interesting. Around a lot of gumshoes and...
You know, I fancy myself as a small-time sleuth. You know, I will... if I see, you know, cat vomit or something, I'm like, I bet it came from the cat. And I'm really good at figuring out which
Back
cat
to my
is
hunch.
Because they're separated in our house, and one can't get to one part of the house that the other one can't. So it's usually the cat I'm thinking of. And so my detective skills are really good.
Sound good.
And so L.A. Noire was a game that I really... really enjoyed. You know my true crime love, and I've talked about it at length. And
there you go.
And it was really, I thought the facial animations for the time were really good. You had to like kind of spot a lie by looking at a face, and I don't know, it was just a fantasy for me. I really loved it. So a remastered edition is a fun idea. I don't know if I've forgotten enough of the answers to the game to if I could replay it and still have that sense of wonder I had when I first played it, but I'm almost interested in trying it because I've wanted to go back and play a little bit more of it.
So. Wow. So what, we'll see. A remaster. It's like you might pick up the remastered version.
Well, the remaster would be interesting because I'm wondering if they've improved on those facial animations and made it...
I don't know.
They were already pretty good, and I'm sure it'll look better.
It'll look better for sure.
I would like to know the range of improvements and whether or not that factors into the actual gameplay.
And I think it's going to be a $40 release.
Sounds right.
I think.
Sounds right.
So that's...
I'd wait until it got a little cheaper, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if it starts at 40, you know it'll get cheaper, so...
Sure.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I'm interested in that. That's PS4, Xbox One, and surprisingly Switch.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Apparently you can't download it to the Switch because it's too big for the internal memory.
I'm sure one face animation is probably bigger than the cartridge.
Yeah.
And then lastly, Sonic Forces, being the nostalgia junkie that I am, this being an updated Sonic.
Yeah, it looks cool.
And it's interesting that Sonic, you know, the Sonic Mania was there for the nostalgic people like me.
Right.
It came out first to get people like me interested
back
in Sonic again.
Yeah.
And then they're going to release this new updated flavor
Smart.
Of Sonic.
Smart.
Sort of attach. See if people will attach the feeling to
right.
both. And I think it's
right.
a good idea. I'm excited to see what they do with it. 11.7, PC, Xbox One, PS4, and Switch. The whole gamut.
All of
comes
them.
Comes on everything but the Ouya.
Yep. Suck it, Ouya.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, I only have really one other thing to mention in terms of radarness, because I am interested in all those that Trav mentioned. Not so much... not so much Need for Speed, maybe. Depends.
It's a group of friends game. You gotta have
well,
the party.
If everybody else has it, yeah, absolutely. I'm interested. If not, fuck off. But Battlefront 2, Star Wars Battlefront 2. Now, there's been some concerns about the loot system and the microtrans and all that. You know, here's my opinion on microtransactions. I don't give a fuck because, simply put, no one can make me buy them. And if I can, you know, not buy them, then I won't. It's very simple. But I love the way the game looks. I like all the universe tie-ins and all the different eras. And there's apparently a cool story campaign this time around. So I'm excited to see what happens. You know, I'll probably wait and get hear some post-release reviews or impressions before I dive in on it, but it looks pretty sweet, and I like a good Star Wars game. It's been a while since I've played one. So,
now, is your opinion of microtransactions affected if other people buy them, that they get a leg up over you in the game?
Not even really that, honestly, because I'm not terribly competitive.
Okay.
And the games that I am competitive about, that's not an issue. So I don't really worry about it, because there's all, I mean, money or not, there'll always be someone better than me, even if we are all, you know, playing on the same field. So
I tend to hate them, but I'm okay with them existing if it's a lot of material and cosmetic things that aren't, that don't help people get a leg up in the game. And that's a horse that's been beaten to death in every gaming.
Yeah. Everyone knows how everyone feels about this.
Yeah, pretty
no
much.
One has a non-opinion.
Cool. So you're excited about Battlefront 2, huh?
We'll see.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm interested. I'm very interested.
So what happened the last time?
Let us check the last time. Let us save the last dance.
Previously on Polykill, Jake and Trav scold EA's choice to close Visceral and ponder the future of Amy Hennig's Star Wars game. Jake doesn't beat any games, while Trav knocks out some serious NES classics in Super Castlevania 4 and Secret of Mana. The just beat its get rather spooky. Jake doesn't know what to add to his long play, and Trav commits to The Last of Us. The 1994 Street Fighter movie starring Jean-Claude Van Damme serves as the topic of discussion.
All right, so that's what happened last time. Jake, next time that we do a movie review episode, we should probably watch the movie. I think that would be, you know, we sort of did, but I feel like, you know, we need to sit down and really put some time and some thought into the thing.
That's fair.
So, but I thought it was super fun. You know, you can't get enough of that cheesy ass Jean-Claude Van Damme.
So good.
Has he been in a movie recently?
Yeah, he's in several stuff. I mean, not big stuff.
Was he in the, what was the movie with all the superhero, the 80s? Yeah, the Expendables. Was
he in
that?
Yeah, he was in that.
Cool.
Expendables 2, I think, as a villain.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. And then, of course, I beat a few SNES games. You didn't beat anything. You didn't even pick a long play last time.
Didn't.
You didn't know what to do with yourself.
Well, I was kind of waiting because I knew Mario Odyssey was sort of right there. So,
but you have Breath of the Wild in your hand.
I know.
You took a picture of it. You put that picture on the internet. People saw it.
I have it. I still own it. It's not gone anywhere.
Okay. Yeah. Has it gone into the Switch?
No, not lately.
Oh,
it's Mario's playground now. He's a fucking king.
Well, that takes us into the Hot Jakes. News topics that Jake has an opinion on.
Yeah.
We're going to start. Hit the Hot Jake music. Turn that on. Get that going. Xbox One X launch.
Let the X games begin.
Moira, new Overwatch hero?
Number 26.
All right. So Xbox One X is coming out. You just talked about how you're excited about it, but you don't know when you're going to pull the trigger.
Right. There's a couple things, you know, financially that I need to make sure are squared away. There are also, we'll have to see how availability is. I don't know how that's going to go.
Wait, you really think they're going to fall off the shelves like a Switch?
Well, I don't think they're going to fall off the shelves like a Switch. But what I don't know, even more so, is how Microsoft is expecting them to sell. So, like, because it is a top-tier, like, power user console, it's not a new console launch.
It's not really a budget-friendly console.
It's not. So, like, how many are they going to produce?
And out of the gate, there's not a lot of games advertised as being sort of
enhanced.
Right.
I mean, it's they're coming and they're like here now. But
I mean, the Switch was in the same boat with that. You know, they released a console with less than 10 games available.
Yep.
So,
I mean, I obviously the beauty is this will play all the existing Xbox One stuff. So, I mean, it is definitely an optional upgrade, and it's definitely not something for everybody. So, like, my curiosity is, you know, how is Microsoft preparing this launch? You know, so it really depends on availability as well. Because I do plan to trade in my Xbox One S or sell it or something to fund the purchase of the One X, but I have to make sure that there's a One X available before I can do either of those comfortably. So, anyway, that's the sitch that I'm in with that. But I'm really excited to see how it goes. You know, I mean, I've already read some horror stories about the download size for the enhancements, like the full game with the enhancements. Mm-hmm. I think Quantum Break is 178 gigs.
Yikes.
178 gigs. That's literally over half of my data allowance for my ISP.
That's true. That's
crazy.
It's the times we live in.
That would take hours to download. Days. But, you know, I'm still mostly a disc guy. I hardly ever download a full retail game.
Which is weird. We kind of switch for the current generation.
We did.
We switch philosophies. Whereas I'm kind of over physical media at the moment. I got so spoiled by, because, you know, my friend Josh and I did the Xbox share where I claim his, he claims mine, and we're able to download a game and we're both privy to it.
Right.
That spoiled me. Now I don't. When I have to put, I didn't even know my Xbox took discs after a while. Like, you left the game at my house, and I was like, where did you put it? Do I put this in the PS4 and it, like, sends a Wi-Fi signal to the Xbox? Like, I don't understand. Oh, it has a disc tray. I didn't know that. Or a disc slot. So, yeah, it's interesting that we switch philosophies on
that
front.
Yeah. You know, there's a couple of reasons for it. Usually you can get the physical copy cheaper, either by, like, a GCU or a Amazon Prime. You can usually get them cheaper at launch.
Of course, you can trade and share them.
You can trade and share. Like, so there's still advantages for physical for me.
I get it.
Especially with Nintendo games, I'm probably always going to buy physical.
They're cute.
Because they're adorable. I like the cases for the Switch. And also, the cheapest way to get a Nintendo game is to pre-order it through one of those two services. Because they're never going to be under $60. So, I got Mario for $47 through Amazon. So,
oh, well played.
So, that's how I'll always buy Nintendo games. If they haven't, if they're upcoming, I guess.
Right on.
But anyway, how we got off on all that, I don't know. I guess probably we're talking about download size of Xbox One X games. Anyway, I'm excited to see how it goes. I love the look of the machine. It's gorgeous. And I'm also going to kind of wait for a minute to see if there's any like weird hardware issues once the masses get hold of them. Also.
Good job. All right. So a new Overwatch hero.
Yeah,
now, you haven't played Overwatch in a few months, buddy. So do you care?
I do care because this is sort of exactly what I wanted. My friends and I, and maybe even those of us in the club that play, have talked about, when it comes to the different classes of characters or heroes in Overwatch, the healing class or support class, I can't remember how, I think they're called support class, is a little lacking. It's definitely got fewer heroes than the rest. And also, all of the heroes that are support are like the good guys, if you want to call them that. They're like the more positive heroic types, but there's no like anti-heroes or villains in the support class. So this is what Moira is, and
the punk ass healer,
just punk ass healer. But now what I've seen of the gameplay, it looks awesome. Looks like she's got like a vampiric take life from someone and then give it to one of her teammates, which is really nice. That's a fun dynamic. He's going to get that lock on beam, which is awesome. Like, it's really, especially for console, it makes playing a character like that a lot easier. Mm-hmm. Also, lore wise, she looks pretty cool. I believe she has a teleporter or a teleportation ability. So I believe she's the one who basically turned Gabriel Reyes into Reaper, from everything I can tell, because she worked with Talon. So, pretty cool lore behind the character too. So I'm pretty excited to see maybe like something like her and Mercy going head to head, because I have a feeling like that there's some fallout there between the two of them, because they're basically the same idea but just different philosophies on how to accomplish the idea. So pretty cool, and I can't wait to play as Moira.
Well, it sounds like a very layered, dynamic character that's going to be integrated well into the story. That's good.
I think so.
Well, that's going to be fun for everybody involved. So that's your Hot Jakes.
Hot Jakes.
That's been them. It's been with the release of those big games. I think everybody's just playing those games. No one's making news.
It's true. There's not a lot going on aside from that big story we had last time with the closure of the bullshit.
That's it. Which is good. I would rather not have to talk about closing.
Absolutely.
If we can keep the news positive and short, I'm all for it.
Absolutely.
That takes us to the meat of the business. Regarding the backlogs themselves.
Right.
Completed games. Yes. Games that we've knocked off the backlog. It's the whole reason we do this show.
Yes.
Beat games. It's the whole reason that we do why don't you ever beat games, Jake?
Life has really just gut punched me lately.
Buying a Honda Fit took 2 weeks. We did it day and night. We bought the parts separate. We put it together in the living room.
We did.
And we've been scooting it around on the floor. We just now got it together. It took 2 weeks. No, what's going on? Why can't you beat any games?
Oh, probably the school, work, automobile accident, which rendered me having to buy a car. Just the general fatigue from all that. I just haven't had a lot of thing. And another thing that has kept me from beating games is my Switch. If that makes sense.
Because you're playing big games.
Because I'm playing big games, and I'm playing several different games. I'm playing Mario Rabbids, a little bit of Breath of the Wild, playing some Mario Kart, and playing Mario Odyssey, and then when I'm going to get real chill, I'll play Minecraft or Stardew Valley on the Switch. So it's like I'm just jumping around a little bit more than I have been. Now, that being said, I'll bring it home when we talk about long play in a bit.
Okay.
So, but I don't want to talk about that here. But what about you? What'd you beat?
Well, just Super Bomberman. Like I said, I picked it up.
So what's wrong with you? Why only beat one game?
Well,
you're a Polykill, my own.
Because I beat a game, and that's the goal we set forth, and I got one. I beat one.
Okay.
Now, to be fair, it's a shorter Bomberman game. I was actually a little disappointed with how brief that it
minutes.
Is. Not even. I mean,
40 minutes.
I fancy myself a decent Bomberman player, you know? I'm a consummate Bomberman, man. But, yeah, dude, it wasn't very long. It wasn't very hard. I was kind of disappointed. But I did beat it. And it's fun. It's probably not worth what it's going for. I'll say that. I'll say that out loud to the folks. Mm. So if you can play it another way, play it. It's fun enough. It's just short.
Gotcha.
So there you go. That's been the Super Bomberman corner over here with Travis.
Oh, yeah.
And I've beaten another game, but I'll save it for the Disquouch.
Okay.
The discussion is going to be fun for some of you, and for others of you, you'll want to blow your brains
just
out.
Just tune out immediately.
And that takes us to hashtag just beat it, beat it, beat it. Kong, kong, kong. Beat it, beat it, beat it, beat it, beat it. Kong, kong. So here we go. You ready? Who's doing
ready.
Bold? I'll do bold.
Okay.
Go first.
So Diego at Antonio, at a Latino lawyer. Sorry. I'm half dead. Diego at a Latino lawyer, known for representing criminals who were caught trying to conceal a boner in public place. Finished Mario Rabbit's Kingdom Battle.
Yeah. Now, is that a crime? Concealing a boner? I know concealing a gun sometimes can be. Is concealing a boner? I mean, can you get in trouble for that? Because I've been concealing them for years. You know?
I don't know.
Okay, well, we'll have to ask the lawyer.
Yeah.
Frankie at Viper Strike beat Slayaway Camp on Steam, a game where you attend a weight loss camp as a middle schooler and try to pick up chicks by luring them in with stolen fudge.
Nice. Nice. Bender at Bender _ Guitar and Caleb at Caleb J. Ross and Miles of Lock of Nerds, all beat South Park the Fractured Butthole. A wholesome game about a Snowy Towns elementary schoolers and their love for Jesus Christ.
Oh, it doesn't sound like what I expected it.
Not at all.
Huh.
Not at all.
Interesting. James at RetroPixel beat Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Hyperstone Heist on the Sega Genesis.
Hot damn.
A game about four mutant turtles who try to retrieve the corpse of Ronald Reagan from a troop of horny Nickelback fans.
Wow.
Now, if you can imagine it, you can make it. I might write that story. I might write that book.
Please. Yeah. Please do.
Mm-hmm. And that brings us to the Polykillers.
People,
you know, it was a short list up there, wasn't it? Now, people, come on.
I think everyone else is like me. They're in my situation. It's tired. It's end of the year.
Well, based on these Polykillers, it sounds like everybody's just beating more games than just one game.
Yeah, whatever.
There's a lot of Polykills here.
All right. So Ryan at Is Rocket Sauce, author of the latest book about how deep thigh workouts can prevent testicular torsion, beat the original Castlevania and Onimusha.
I'd like to hear more about that.
Onimusha?
No. How deep thigh workouts can prevent testicular torsion, which I hear is a very painful thing.
I understand it's also painful.
Yes, I don't want it.
Twisty balls.
Which is was also my screen name for the Cartridge Club. Twisty balls.
Nice. Twisty balls.
Dean at Round _2_ Gaming, who refers to Pabst Blue Ribbon as refers to Pabst Blue Ribbon as that good good, finished two fresh whoppers, Super Mario Odyssey and Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Wow, those are big, Dane.
That was a couple good weeks Dean had there to finish off those two big.
That's awesome.
I wonder, what is he doing with the Switch now? Did he sell it?
No, yeah,
is he done?
He probably sticks it up his ass or something.
What? That's wild.
Just the Joy-Cons.
Oh.
They got that HD rumble. Mm. All right. So Church at the _GameGrinder, who says his lowest moment in life is when his grandma walked in on him watching Nick at Night wearing nothing but a turtleneck sweater holding a Bop-It. Finish Bubsy. Bubsy. The Willy Strike Back in South Park of the Fractured Butthole.
So his grandma walks in.
Yeah.
And he's just wearing a turtleneck.
Yeah, that's it.
And he's just holding a Bop-It. Watching Nick at Night. That's my favorite part.
Watching Nick at Night. Like Mr. Ed or something.
Yeah, Mr. Ed. What are some other good Nick at Nights? I Love Lucy.
I Love Lucy.
Bewitched.
Bewitched. What's the best classic sitcom that's still funny to this day?
The Honeymooners?
No.
That's, All in the Family?
That's a lot of domestic
Jeffersons?
Abuse. A lot of domestic abuse.
Safer and Son?
Who's the guy? Who's the chimney sweep? Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Mary Poppins. Dick Van Dyke Show.
Oh, the Dick Van Dyke Show. Right.
That's
right.
A hilarious show. Still watch it to this day. It's amazing.
Right on. Kyle. At Doplick, all caps, finished Castlevania, Circle of the Moon, Mickey Mousecapade, and Viscera Cleanup Detail, a janitorial sim where you must work your way up from an elementary school cafeteria to Hugh Hefner's master bedroom.
Whoa.
Now, have you heard of Viscera Cleanup Detail?
I have, yeah.
Have you played it?
No. Huh. It's a funny concept, though.
It does sound that way.
It is. Sean at Cartridge Bros finished Super Castlevania 4, Gone Home, and the Turing Test, a game where it's up to the player to determine the difference between between really enhanced AI and Keanu Reeves.
Can you tell the difference between a really enhanced AI and the emotionless dead eyes and soul of Keanu Reeves? Is it possible?
Whoa.
Was that your kind of Keanu Reeves?
No. My Keanu Reeves is where he puts his hand down and shakes his head when he gets real mad.
Yeah.
Shut up. Shut up.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I'm the one? Whoa. JD at Play and Listen finished Inside. Super Mario Odyssey. Metroid, Samus Returns, and Gunman Clive.
Gunman Clive, that's a good one, JD. That's fun.
JD also wanted everyone to know that, due to confusion, he's renaming the get-together at his place this weekend from Sausage Party to Please Nothing But Naked Hot Dudes Extravaganza.
Just in case people are bringing like Hickory Farms or something.
That's right. So leave your bratwurst at home, please.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So Cliff at Cliff Hikes, who once ate an entire can of Fancy Feast to make a point about his stance on waterboarding, finished The Vanishing of Ethan Carter. Ethan Carter. Why does that sound right?
Well, it's not.
Did Arnold say it at some point?
Ethan Carter. Chapa, maybe?
Get to the Ethan Carter. I don't know. Anyway, The Vanishing of Ethan Carter, and earned platinum trophies for the entire Ezio collection. That's AC2, AC Brotherhood, and AC Revelations.
That's putting some time into
Assassin's
Creed.
That's a lot of work. That's a lot of climbing and eagles and viewpoints and little floating shit.
And hay. A lot of falling in the hay.
A lot of hay.
You know, if you're not tired of AC or Assassin's Creed before, you got to be now.
Yeah, maybe he's not. Maybe he loves it. I mean,
platinum trophies. You had to scour the ground for every little hidden thing, chase all the stuff,
impressive.
Do all the things. That's impressive.
Very impressive.
And we have another Kyle. This is Kyle, the second Kyle.
Oh, Kyle. Bizarro Kyle.
Bizarro Kyle at Kyle_325_, whose favorite pastimes are writing Hamburglar fiction, scratching his butthole without moving his arms, and playing lots of Halo. Beat Halo 1, 2, 3, and 4 in a span of 8 days.
Hot damn.
So those last two dudes, you know, getting the platinum trophies on the Ezio collection and whooping the four canonical right there together sequel Halos, the first four there. Pretty impressive, guys.
Damn impressive.
That's just beating it to the extreme.
To the extreme.
I gotta say, I'd like to walk in on those two guys beating it. I'd like to see the work they put
in.
I'd like to see what they're up to. That's been it for Just Beat It. Have beaten a game, please hashtag Just Beat It. Give us a screenshot of what you've done, and we'll make fun of you here on the show to some degree.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so games that we've added to the backlog. I'm going to go ahead and excuse myself from this one because I, again, am saving it for the discussion.
Okay.
And marriage, yes.
And marriage. So I added Super Mario Oedipus.
Really? Do you have a complex about your mother?
It's Odyssey. Yeah, that's what I added. That's what I goddamn added. That's amazing.
So you're excited about playing it, then? All right, well, that's it. We've talked about it. Let's move on.
All right, moving on.
To if you're excited to play something or you have an Oedipus complex and you're excited about sex and your mother, you weirdo, this episode is sponsored by Calton Technologies LLC. Caltech focuses on product development in robotics, web apps, mobile apps, home automation, or some combination of the above. Mm. To learn more or to start a conversation about your future product or idea, send an email to info@cowden.tech. That is info@cowden.tech. And they'll take care of you. They'll put robots all up in your house.
Yeah, boy. You'll look like your mom.
Weird. Yeah. And then also, if you like what you're hearing so far, and you may or may not, you know, it's up to you.
I don't blame you. Either way.
Maybe your phone's frozen and you have to hear us. You can't stop.
Like the bad button broke or something.
We're not sorry, okay? Mm. But check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/PolyKillPodcast. That's where we post not much. Maybe you can jump in and start posting shit. I don't know how it works. Cartridgeclub.org, that's short for organism.
Orgasm.
And polykill.com is where you can find all of our blogs, videos, and written word and sung words and video and whatever, and shirts and shit. polykillpodcast@gmail.com. You can drop us a line or submit a story, your pet peeve for the next off-kilter. Would be great. Please rate us on iTunes or whatever service you use and subscribe to our Sad and Lonely YouTube channel.
All right.
That takes us into 1, 2, 3, 4.
The long page.
Games that we're spending the most time with.
Now.
Go for it. Want me to go?
Okay. Yeah, you go for it.
Last of Us on the PS4.
The remastered version.
The remastered version. Now, it's a wild thing when I see these remastered versions, because I didn't get to see what it looked like before.
The PS3 version looked really good. Really good.
I mean, I look at the year beside of it, and I see 2014, and I know that it's remastered, but I'm still impressed.
It's damn impressive.
It is the level of detail. I mean, everything from not just how people look and their facial animation. You know, there's always been that uncanny valley.
Right.
Where you want to believe that the character that they've designed for you, that is emoting, is really doing that. And it's always been, you always still needed a little bit of imagination to kind of kick it up.
A little suspension. Yep.
But this man, I have a hard time separating these people from being in-engine video game representations of people. Like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I know this is, like I said, this is a 3-4-year-old game at this point. You know, things have gotten better, sure. But this holds up pretty damn good on that front. And the voice acting and the story, of course, is really good. Voice acting is really good. Mm. I mean, everything about it is really solid. I'm just through and through impressed. And I'm really not going to spoil any story here at all. I'm not even going to bring it up. But it is a fun ride. And, aside from the clickers, those fucking things annoy the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Just,
they're hateful.
They're hateful. But other than that, it's been a fun time.
Beating the shit out of them, though.
It is. It's been a fun ride. Couldn't recommend that one enough. I know I'm late. I'm like last off the bus on that one. But,
last off the bus.
If you've been holding out for whatever reason, last off the bus remastered. If you've been holding out for whatever reason, figure out that reason and fix it.
It's
and
cheap.
Get a hold of it. Yeah, it's a good time. And then you, what do you?
Me, I am playing Slurpee Mario Fantasy.
Slurpee Mario Fantasy.
I don't know what the hell that means.
You know, I just when you only put one game on the goddamn sheet, I can't not do things with it.
That's fair. But Super Mario Odyssey is my long play, and I'm gonna extol it here a bit on the program, as I am wont to do. Let's talk about Super Mario Odyssey. So where to begin? I have not played a mainline entry Mario game, Travis, since Super Mario 64.
So it's been right at 20 years.
It's been a long time since I played a
mainline. Now, when you say that, you're not including any of the Super Mario Bros. Game. You're saying no Galaxy or Sunshine, those 3D.
Those I missed.
Okay.
Like I've played Mario adjacent things or things that he's appeared in, right? Like Mario Kart or Smash or Mario Rabbids, Kingdom Battle. But just as a standalone Mario, Super Mario game, I have not played one in a very long time. So anyway, I didn't know exactly what I'd be getting into. I didn't know if I'd missed out on some mechanics or, you know, like there's this you know, evolution had you know, just gone by me and I wasn't prepared for it. That was not the case. I just picked it up and immediately started playing it. It feels exactly to me like Super Mario 64, same move sets, jumps, backflips, climbing shit, the triple jump, the butt stomp.
Yippee!
So good. It's so good. And I have to say, this game makes me incredibly happy. Like, it makes me really, really happy. It makes me just love video games again. It makes me want to play this game a lot. I love the ability to play it on the Switch, on the TV, or in the handheld mode, all that. It's awesome. But just the best part is just the pure joy of the game. You know, it's just, it's not difficult, but it's also a little challenging. It's colorful. I want to dress Mario up in all these little fucking little adorable outfits that I can get for him. You fly around in a hat. I mean, it's just, it's a great fucking game. And
I've heard more than one person talk about how they did not expect to play dress up with Mario as much as they have.
Like,
and enjoy it as much as they
it's epic. Like, it really is. Like, every time I go to a new kingdom, I immediately try to find the hat shop and then go see what they have. And I spend all the money that I have on these things. Because it's just, I mean, why wouldn't you? Like, I've got the safari outfit where he's got, like, the tan coat and, like, the right. Dr. Livingston hat. And then, you know, I've got the mechanic outfit where he's got wearing the Famicom hat. I've got the...
Now, if these were microtransactions, would you...
I'd pay money for this shit immediately.
There's no way you could ever get me to go for them. I just won't buy them unless it's a hat for Mario or a sweater.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or a mustache.
Or whatever.
Can you change his mustache? Can you give him like a handlebar?
You cannot change his mustache. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, I got the Mario Odyssey amiibo for the wedding outfit, the 3-pack. A lot of you know that. So I've got all the outfits from there. I got the Bowser outfit and I've got Mario's outfit. And then you can wear Peach's wedding gown also. And that's adorable. It's all amazing. And I just want to play the game constantly. I'm upset when I'm not playing it.
Are you upset right now?
I'm a little upset.
Well, do you switch and drive?
No.
Is it that good?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
That's good. Don't do that.
It's dangerous. Dangerous.
Don't do that. All right. So that's great, man. I'm glad you're having fun with it. Yeah. I hear it's not terribly long, but like if you beat it, it opens up more of the game. Somebody said that to me.
I've also heard that. I don't know.
Bizarre.
I've avoided all like points about that.
Well, maybe if you focus and stick to it, it could be a beaten game one of these days.
It will be.
You never know with you.
Like I've got close to 70 power moons. I don't know how many there are. I'm assuming 150 like there usually is. So
120.
120. So,
all right, cool, man. Well, have fun with that.
I am.
Games on the side. Games that we don't tell our long play about. They'd get mad. Mm. They'd be like, "Hey, what are you doing over there across the room playing on that thing?" Mm. I've been doing that.
Get your hand off that thing's knee.
Yeah, I've been over there playing that Vajayjay story. That's Vagrant Story.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, it's that PS1 game. Mm. We talked about classic RPGs episode, and we said let's add one of these to the backlog, and of course I added that one. And I was between that one and Secret of Mana, I remember. You remember that?
I
switched last minute, but then I still ended up beating Secret of Mana first.
Before, yeah.
But, I jump into to Vagrant Story, not really knowing what to expect. You know, the cover doesn't tell you a whole lot. It's like a watercolor kind of brush image of, I might be a guy, a girl, you don't know. It's hair. The hair is strange. I can't understand. And still playing the game. It's still a little ambiguous. I have no idea what my character is or what they're supposed to be doing. But it's so much fun. It reminds me a lot of that Parasite Eve, especially that mechanic where you sort of, it opens up that spherical grid, sort of the battle dome.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Trying to explain it.
Yeah.
And then, anybody or any enemy within that you can attack. Now, it doesn't, you can almost spam your attacks. I think there's a buildup before you can attack again, but you don't see that. You just kind of have to wait until it lets you. But it's pretty fun. It's all, kind of sword combat, RPG style, action RPG style,
right,
with that Parasite Eve twinge.
Gotta hybridize. Yeah.
But interesting thing, or one thing I think is interesting, is like after you beat sort of a little section, it sort of gives you like a high score and kind of rates you how you did. So it almost turns into like an arcade score battle.
Interesting.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
That's
with
stupid.
This game.
I don't like that.
It's fine. It doesn't affect you. It's just like, you did good. I guess if you replayed the game, you
like
could
it.
Measure your success to it. I don't know.
Take it off.
No, come on. So it's pretty fun. I'm enjoying it. I'm probably 5 hours in. I think it's like a 20 to 25 hour game. So.
Swing.
So moving right along. And then the other one, of course, was 999, the game you gifted to me not long back on the Nintendo DS. It's a glorified escape room game, man. I'm really liking it. It feels like a mix between an escape room puzzle game and a Saw movie.
Yes.
And I really enjoy it. It's really quite enthralling. I typically don't like a lot of dialogue in games like that, but this dialogue is very meaningful and it really sets a
mood.
And
there's like clues being dropped in there and all sorts of shit.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's
really neat. So thanks for that. I'm really having fun with it.
God.
What about you? Anything you got going on?
Well, I got a few things on the side, and most of them include a little Italian plumber that we always love. Mm-hmm. Mario. So honestly, I haven't really gamed on my PlayStation or my Xbox since I got my Switch. Very little. I've played some Destiny, and that's about it.
So you should get an Xbox One X. Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But I will. But the point I'm making is that the games that I've been playing on the side are Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle,
mm-hmm.
Because it's just so darn fun. It's so darn cute. And also I don't consider myself good at these kind of games. I just like them. So, like, there are times where it's pretty challenging to me, Like
I think people have said that. Yeah.
It's like, damn, okay, you ain't playing around just because you're cute.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And also Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. So, I just love that game so much. It's just so much fun to just sit down and play some races and, like, open up new vehicles and get a flying squirrel fucking parachute on your car and all that. I just love it. And I got these little grips. I think I shared them in the Everyone But Trav chat hangout that we have on Twitter for all the Switch owners in the club. It's basically everybody but Travis. I got these little Joy-Con grips.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And then you can play just, like, two-player. But, like, you put the Joy-Con in it sideways, like you hold it sideways, but it gives you grips and big bumper buttons.
Yeah, maybe, you don't know about the Discord chat I'm in. It's called People That Beat Games.
Oh.
And I'm pretty sure you're not in it. Oh, you're not in it because you don't.
Well,
also, it doesn't exist. I'm going to make it today, though.
All right. You'll make it for this episode release.
Yeah. That takes us to the discussion. Now, listen, everybody, goddammit, we're going to talk about sports.
You probably saw the title of the episode, and you're like, I'm not going to stick around for this gush.
They probably didn't even start listening to it, but listen. Sports. Sports games are a big... mashed two accents together and got... a stroke. sports games are a huge part of my life, and almost to an embarrassing level.
Okay,
I'll admit it took me away from interesting games. Like growing up, I would have much rather played Madden than Castlevania. I would have much rather played NBA Jam than a Mario game. And at the time, I was just really into sports. I was an encyclopedia of knowledge of sports. I was more into sports.
Sure.
The other games were fun if I got into them. If I could get past the hurdle of acquiring them, once okay. I got them, I would play them. But you know, if it came to picking out a game for my birthday, give me that new sports game. I want that.
Give me that sports game with the new number on the end.
Yes, exactly. And you know, as a kid, you fell into that trap. But back then, the changes were a little more than iterative.
True.
They were fairly substantial.
True.
Especially over generations. So, I had fun with them, but I sort of, you know, that's why I'm so big on playing a lot of those retro games now, is because while I was in the moment and played a few of them and loved them and wanted them, I mostly played sports games that rounded out most of my time.
Mm.
So let's kick it off here with, what are some of the earliest sports games you remember playing?
Okay.
I'll start with one that's not really per se a cartridge in a game on a TV kind of thing. That's the electronic football. Did you ever play that?
I did, like the little vibrating board.
Yeah, well, it didn't really vibrate. It was like a little handheld thing that it was just little dots, and you just had to get the dot to the other side and fake out the
How
other
did it
dots.
Work?
It was a little D-pad, and it was just a strip with that little... I don't even know. I guess they were
maybe,
LEDs.
Yeah, maybe I didn't remember that. I thought about like that little table that you put the football figurines on, and it vibrated, and they just moved around.
No, I didn't have that, but I know exactly what you're talking
about.
Those were
fun.
Yeah, I didn't play that. No, this was an actual sort of LED light game, but it was football. Basically, you had to get from one side of the screen to the other side of the screen without...
Okay.
Kind of had to strategically dodge the dots. A kid from school just gave that to me. He was at school, and he was like, hey, do you want this? I don't really want it anymore. And I was like, okay. And I liked it. I mean, he gave it to me when I was like... I say it's an early memory, but it's like... It's an archaic piece of gaming technology I got after I'd already played a NES and a Super Nintendo. But yeah, I played it like a lot, like a dumb amount.
Nice.
Considering that like the Sega Saturn had been released, and I was like, yeah, I want to play my electronic football game. I'm not a smart kid.
Not at all.
But that sort of, you know, earlier than that, like memory-wise, when I was five or so, John Elway football, man.
Okay.
That game, I mean, it's a super common like NES game. Like I've gone to bed and found it under my pillow before. But I used to play that. Me and my dad would rent. I don't know why we never bought it, but my dad and I would rent it and just play it.
Play the shit out of it.
Play the shit out of it.
Nice.
It was great. Now, what about you? Do you have any that you?
I mean,
remember?
I've got some random ones. Like I guess probably earliest memories I would say were probably like playing basketball on the Atari 2600.
It was just called basketball.
It's called basketball.
Yeah.
And it was just literally like, you know, four sticks on the screen, but two of them moved. And they had a square, and you tried to throw the square at the tall stick on the other end that wasn't moving.
I see.
Yeah.
Basketball.
Basketball.
Is what you're trying to describe. Yeah.
Yes. So played a lot of, not a lot of that, but I mean, I remember playing it as a kid when I was pretty young.
Yeah.
As far as like actual like pro sports games, I never really got into those until like, honestly, like the N64 era. I didn't play those on Nintendo or Super Nintendo or, you know, my Game Gear or anything. I think I had one football game for my Game Gear, and it was total ass because there was just one play that you could run and always score on. It was called Fake Buck 900. I remember
Fake
this.
Fuck 900.
Fake Buck.
Oh.
Fake Buck 900. I honestly don't remember the football game. But anytime you ran this play, it always fooled the defense every single fucking time. I mean, of course, it was just a one player only game.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like it would, you know, always score, and it just became like, I was like, this is fucking dumb. So I just stopped playing it. But yeah, I just didn't play a lot of those games. I was busy playing the games that you missed while you were in sports prison. That's basically what happened. But yeah, I mean, I remember seeing them. You know, I remember playing a random game of Tecmo Bowl at a friend's house.
Were you blown away because it's awesome?
No, I was like, this looks dumb. I think that was the problem. Is just like I could suspend my disbelief for Mario or Sonic or Metroid or something because I understood it was a representation of fantasy. But when you try to tell me that these little dots on the screen as a football player, I just couldn't buy into it. So I needed a little more fidelity to appreciate the sports games.
I thought the Tecmo Bowl was great because it actually used like licensed players and it had like the little cutscenes and the music was so catchy.
That was cool, but to me that wasn't a sports game. That was like an adventure game with sports in it. If that makes sense.
It doesn't. No, because you could pick the plays and it was very representative and they had like the actual football players. Bo Jackson's like really fast and he was really fast on TV and it's the closest thing you could get to playing an actual football game.
You're absolutely right.
In 1989.
Never close enough for me.
You don't play them now? Is it close enough now?
I have played them like in the interim. Yeah.
Okay. And then Blades of Steel, also a fun, good hockey one. Mm-hmm. Also, it had really catchy music. I played the shit out of that. And I remember before I got it, my neighbor had it. He was 6 years older than me, but there's not a lot of kids in the neighborhood. So I'd go up and bug him, and we'd throw baseball around occasionally on a rainy day, play a little video games. And he had Blades of Steel, but for some reason, it was during like the aerobic boom. And it was, I remember seeing commercials all the time for Buns of Steel. And I remember going up to his house with his older cousin there and everything, and like a bunch of older kids, and I busted out, hey guys, can we play Buns of Steel? And boy, was I mocked and made fun of.
I bet you were.
Yep, tucked my tail between my legs and walked home after that one. But Blades of Steel, though, what a fun game. It's still, I mean, it's a lot. It's very similar to another NES game, Ice Hockey, but Blades of Steel, for some reason, is more popular. But really fun time. And then, of course, NBA Jam. NBA Jam, one of my favorites.
Yeah, I think we both have that in common, because I did have that for SNES, and it's one of the sports games that I could get behind, because I knew it wasn't trying to represent reality. It was as a heightened reality, and it was just a lot of fun.
I mean, Tecmo Super Bowl is an arcade game, too, so they're very similar in concept.
I couldn't buy into it, man.
But
I couldn't.
It's but just fun.
NBA Jam.
I didn't really play the football games as if they were simulation. They're more just, it kept football score. It was like a puzzle game that kept football score.
Fair essentially. Enough.
So that was kind of the, especially the rudimentary early days ones like that.
You doing your microphone?
I was trying to scratch my chin and hit it.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, NBA Jam, dude, so much fun. I remember
still play that shit.
Yeah, I really wanted a Genesis, and we looked in the local Trade Times Craigslist thing from back in the day when you had to actually call somebody on a home phone and say, "Hey, you want to give me this?" Not like Craigslist now,
right?
Very archaic. And the guy that was selling the thing, he said he had one game, and it was NBA Jam, and I didn't really know what that was, because I didn't. I was like, right. Oh, it's a basketball game. Cool.
Yeah, cool.
And boy, I got that home, and I didn't need another game for the Genesis for a long time.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I turned into Bill Clinton. You put in the Bill Clinton code.
Fuck yeah.
And all kinds of
you
crazy
played
shit.
Mascots, right? And was there a version you could play as Mascots?
I don't know. It wasn't that one.
Okay.
And this one was very vanilla. It wasn't like tournament edition or anything like that.
I had the tournament edition one.
Yeah.
That was special.
With hot spots on the floor. You can score like 9-point shots.
Yeah, boy. I had that on SNES, though. So.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Any others?
Notice I didn't say SNES.
Yeah.
I said SNES, like my own.
Mm-hmm.
All right, go on.
Do you have it's your turn. Do you have any other?
Like super early memories? No, not really. I mean, you know, not really.
Okay.
No.
So what are some that you've spent the most time with in your life?
I'll start off with a really good golden memory because me and my dad really didn't game a lot together. Like he still plays games to this day. My dad, I got him an Xbox One for Christmas one year. Like he plays Battlefield and you know, like he's more like a shooter guy, which is awesome. Like he'll go online and play and shit. But you know, he really likes like the cinematic campaigns and stuff. So he got him Battlefield 1, Rainbow Six Siege and all this stuff. But anyway, the point is he wasn't huge in gaming when I, you know, was kind of in my golden era of gaming, which for me is N64, but I had an N64 and, on a whim, I don't really even remember why I picked it up or at what point or what provoked it, but I got, a version of a hockey game. I think the 64 launched with a Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the follow-up to it. And the full title is The NHL and the NHLPA Presents Wayne Gretzky 3D Hockey 98. But that was what we played. And, you know, I started to, you know, kind of get invested in the rules of hockey. And but we would always play the 3-on-3 arcade mode for a couple of reasons. One, it was more fun. We could just beat the shit out of each other constantly.
Not much screen clutter.
Yeah, way too much clutter. Like, the game slowed down a lot. Mm. It was noticeably jaggy and laggy when you put, you know, a 5-on-5 out there. But you put on 3-on-3, it's like, man, this is awesome. But we played that a lot. Like, a lot. And very fervently, lots of yelling. One of my favorite memories of playing this game, I've never seen my dad like so competitive. We were playing a game, it was 3-on-3. I was the Canucks and he was, I think, the Buffalo Sabres or something. And we were tied up at the end of the final period. And he's on the other end, opposite his goal, the rink. Does a last-minute slap shot, okay, as the buzzer is going off. It goes over the goal, bounces off the glass behind the goal, comes back, hits my goalie in the back of the head,
and then goes in. And
oh, my
gosh.
I'll never forget that. That was like, that's one of those things, because you could watch replays.
Yeah.
I just would like, that's a replay I would love to have saved.
Yeah.
Dude, and shared that shit on Twitter. It was awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Yeah, we had a lot of good time. A lot of good times playing the old Wayne Gretzky's 3D Hockey 98 on the N64.
That's great, man. Yeah. For me, a lot of the games that I spent a lot of time with was by myself. Being an only child who was just addicted to sports games, I almost didn't want to play with anybody else. I'd started seasons with my teams and would just run through them and over and over again. I mean, a dumb amount of sports games. And I remember one that I spent a ton of time with was the NFL Quarterback Club series. And I kind of took a chance on it. I was more familiar with like the Maddens and that kind of thing. And it was my birthday. I was 9 years old. My dad takes me down to Kmart, old sentence. Shopping for games. And I was like, I could get, all these games now, like Earthbound, that's worth like hundreds of dollars now. But no, let's get NFL Quarterback Club. That sounds fun.
Sounds better than Earthbound. I'm already here.
And so pick that up, and it had the quarterback club contest where you pick a quarterback. You could be any of them, all their names were on there. So you could be like Dan Marino or Steve Young, and then you had to hit the moving target in the thing or run.
That's fun.
Do the obstacle course and some other stuff, and that was a lot of fun. And then of course it had the actual football teams and games, and I played a shit ton of that. I mean, just unbelievable amount of that game. And one of the things I remember about it. And this was before Blitz came out, and they didn't really embrace it. But as long as another player was on the ground, it wouldn't go to the next play. So after a play was over and people got tackled, if you got up, you could just keep tackling the other team as many times as you wanted.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I also played a game called Sports Talk Baseball. This was part of this.
That sounds awful.
Remember when I brought up my dad's friend Chico, who gave me this gamut of old Genesis games?
Yes.
And they were mostly all sports games. So most of my Genesis sports games were from him.
He had an acquaintance known as the Man.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Chico and the Man. Okay,
no,
sorry.
I don't get it.
Okay.
I'm sure
someone did.
Probably. But Sports Talk Baseball was in there. And it's a pretty good baseball game, but the gimmick was they had a little talking dude that would say things like up to bat, and it blew you away in 92. Give me a break.
For sure.
And I played I played a whole 165 game season plus playoffs plus World Series of this. And it had you had to play a 3-game block before it would save. So you started a series, I was the White Sox because that was my favorite baseball team. You play a 3-game series with the Twins, you have to play all 3 games and then it'll save. And then you play the next one against whoever else. And so it took a long time, like a year. Like it might be the most dedicated thing a 10-year-old's ever done was play through 165 games of a baseball game. I took my losses. Okay. I never turned it off early, a lot of kids do that.
That's hateful, but yeah.
Can't take defeat. I was a very humble 110 and like 50, record, 1/2 of the games. So much fun, dude. Went to the World Series, beat the Reds.
Hell,
then done with it.
Probably an old King Griffey Sr. was playing for the Reds.
No, it wasn't quite that old, but a lot of fun. Played a lot of that game. And then on a similar note, from that same group of games, Evander Holyfield Championship Boxing. I've been over it. Played with my brother. When he moved in with us for like 2 years when I was in middle school, it was the first time I'd ever had somebody consistent to play games with. Right. And so like every Friday night before bed, it's like, want to box a little bit? And we played that a lot. It was so much fun.
That's nice.
But further on that baseball chain, I played baseball. It was the sport I was better at. Now, I agree with a lot of people that say it's not much of a spectator sport. I agree with that. You got to really have a team or be invested in the team to enjoy it. I get why people don't like it. It's fine.
Right.
But I got really into some of the baseball games. MLB Pennant Race for the PS1. When I got my PS1, again, we got it used off some random stranger we found in the phone book. They sold it to us. It was a game that was included in there. It had David Justice on the front. But one of the addicting things about it, if you could hit a home run, it would like the camera would follow the ball into the crowd. And I just it fucking blew my mind. Every time I hit a home run, I got so excited. It was so cool.
And you knew you were hitting a home run.
Oh, yeah. Because as soon as it hit, it was just like, boom, I just followed over the fence.
Yeah.
And then
I had that game.
Played a lot of it. It was a good game. Yeah. And then MVP Baseball 2005 is one that I played multiple seasons because I could create a character for the first time. I did that for the first time in that game. And I was trying to, I don't know, I guess my goal is just to be the home run, like just to beat Barry Bonds or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I was trying to be the home run king, and I got like two seasons in, but you know, it's pretty aspirational if you want to play over, you know, 1,800 games of baseball. So I eventually gave up on it, but I had that during college, and I'd just, you know, if I had a little bit of time between classes, just come in, you know, play a couple games, and then go on. So it accrued. I played a lot.
No doubt.
But the big one is the college football games.
Absolutely. To this day, still. Yeah.
It's a bit, yeah. I mean, it's sad that it's kind of over. Like, they won't make anymore because the Ed O'Bannon case. And for those of you who don't know Ed O'Bannon, I think he was a basketball player for UCLA, and he sued because the rights of his image were there, and he didn't make any money off the game, which I get those gripes. You know, he was very litigious about it, and that's why EA doesn't make those games anymore, because they can't pay the players to be in the games because that's an NCAA rules violation, yada 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 yada,
so on and so forth.
Still a bummer.
It is.
You know, it's a good gripe, I guess. It makes sense. It just is sort of a bummer. So in 2014, I guess, which would have been 2013's game,
right,
was the last one that they made for college football, and I actually, you know, I loved it so much and started the subreddit. It's got like a few thousand people, but it's still very active. People still play the game, and you can update the rosters and all that kind of thing. So it's the heart still beating on that one. And I was actually looking at, if you look at a list of what a lot of Xbox 360 games are worth now, most of them not worth a lot. Backwards compatibility is watered down. You could download them,
right?
And just like the collector, I guess, appeal of Xbox 360 games is not there. That one's still worth about $40. It's like the highest. It's like one of the most sought after sports games probably in the last 20 years. Just because it was the last one made.
Okay.
And it's pretty decent. It's pretty decent. So
very nice.
But it's a lot of fun. So I spent too much time playing all those games, Jake. That's why I didn't get to play a lot of those RPGs and a lot of those other things.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at. That was sports prison for me, you know. It fed well. The other inmates were nice. And I got to work out a lot. But
cool.
But didn't get to play anything else. So I don't play many today. I don't. Why don't you?
I do occasionally still. The point that I was going to make here was that I do enjoy playing FIFA games. This is an interesting thing because I don't really follow soccer or football, like in terms of actual teams or events, unless it's World Cup, and then I'm totally bandwagon fan. But I just love playing FIFA games. They're just a lot of fun to play because you have so much control over what happens in those games. And, you know, the games are usually very beautiful, and you get a lot of cool atmosphere in the games. And I don't know why. It's just a lot of fun to play. Because usually I have to have some kind of buy-in on the sport to enjoy a game about it, but I don't really with FIFA. So I enjoy playing those. Why don't I play as many today? Probably too much commitment on playing other games. Like, there's so many games that I want to play and that I have. Like, why would I throw a sports game in there in the mix? You know, and it might be a fun time killer or a night, something to wind down with, but I feel like I already have something that fills that space. So I just don't. Like, that's basically it. And I guess the other reason is better with friends most of the time, and I don't have any friends.
Interesting. I
was joking about that.
I got it. You don't have any friends, it's sad. So yeah, for me it's just that there's no college games anymore. That's kind of where I enjoyed it most. Yeah. I don't really care for pro football as much anymore, and I think the Madden games to me always felt a little bloated. It felt like giant ads. And to be honest, a lot of modern sports games, for their appeal of being, you know, so almost realistic and simulation-y and just really well made, the detractor from that is they're much more complicated. It's not, you have to learn a lot before you have to go through a big tutorial. I mean, I kind of miss the old days of sitting down with some Tecmo Super Bowl and running some plays and having fun with it versus you know, really having to figure out a lot of the intricacies that are involved with modern sports games, which kind of factors into that time restraint you're talking about. Like, it's not really just let me get this Madden and I'll play a few games with friends or whatever. It becomes a whole thing. Like,
it becomes an ordeal.
It does become kind of an ordeal, and I'm just not as into it. There hasn't been any baseball on Xbox, so I had Xbox for a while. I might have bought a baseball game because I really do enjoy them, but the MLB rights are with PS4, so I kind of didn't get
into
it there for a while.
Maybe you can pick up a copy of the show at some point.
maybe. I think the time for me to really enjoy those games is kind of past. But there was a time where I kind of was clamoring for one, but that wasn't available to me, which was kind of sad.
That is sad.
They're sort of unbeatable. They're kind of going forever. I mean, you could argue that,
big time sink for sure.
Even with, because Dynasty mode is something that I'm really into, especially with the college football game. Mm-hmm. Going on with the career and recruiting new players, and the team kind of changes and evolves over time, and that's really neat, and that's the fun thing for me. But what's considered beating it? Like getting to the end after 30 years, I think it limits you. Is that beating it, or is it just winning a national championship beating it? They also have the story modes, which is where I'll get into later about what they might need to do to entice me to come back into them, which they're doing a little bit with these story modes. I think FIFA has one, cool. And I think most of them
NBA
have one.
NBA 2K's had one for a few years.
Yeah, and those are kind of fun. I mean, they're restrictive, but they're trying to tell a story. But does beating that, consider beating it? I don't know. Am I too hung up on beating it?
I would.
I kind of like getting to the end of something, even if I'm going to play it later, and people be like, have you played this? Like, yeah, I did all this with it, but I just want to be like, yeah, I beat the story and played some games or whatever. So I don't know. I don't know. But I'm interested in especially Madden's got the one that they're touting, the story mode.
Yep.
I'm interested to see how that goes. I think
FIFA has one now too.
So. I think it's piqued the interest of a lot of people who have been away from sports games for a while because it's a little more than just, playing some games. I also don't like playing with other people. It's sort of like the sports thing is sort of my fantasy in a way. It's kind of like I kind of want to play this. This is my, if I create a dynasty or something, like this is the game in the world that I created, and I'm at the whim of whatever.
System and rules are in place there, and you don't want that tainted by someone else's presence.
Yeah, in a way. Now, I don't mind playing like the dynasties with other people. Those are fun, but they're usually, it's hard to corral people because you have to play on a schedule, and sometimes people just exploit things in the game that just frustrate me. It's like, I'm actually going for this experience, not to, You know what I mean? What's the word I'm looking for? They kind of abuse certain players or whatever. It's like,
okay,
my quarterback's 99. I'm just going to run the whole time the same play. I'm like, nah, this is no longer fun. Or the computer doesn't really do that.
Sure.
So it's I don't know.
A little more fair.
A little more fair, more, I guess, realistic and just pleasing to my mind. Hmm. So what would they have to do to entice you? Does the story thing get you going at all? Maybe a little more than usual?
It does. I mean, I like the idea of it. That does make me a couple things. One, if I buy a sports game and a story mode is there, like, that makes me think a couple things. Because, for years, these big production, high production value sports games have been around without story mode, and they've always been full price. And now we've got, all that plus all the story mode, and they're probably bringing like, named voice actors, people that and they got these cutscenes and all this. Like, where's that getting paid for? Is that going to be microtransactions forced down my throat in the game because of this? Which really doesn't bother me, but I know it can be a turnoff to some people. Or is like something else being sacrificed on the other side of it? Or why have I been overpaying? Why would I have been overpaying? I think
we've been overpaying.
Yeah, I think we have. Mainly because these yearly iterations, man, I never understood. They should seriously, like, here, give us $80 and you'll get Madden's 2013 through 2016, and you'll just get a software update online that'll take you to the next version.
That's what,
something like that. I don't know.
Exactly.
I feel like that's better because really it's rarely worth the full price upgrade that the people pay for those. Anyway, to bring me into a game like that, I think a story mode would be cool. It would probably make me play the game later because I wouldn't feel the need to be relevant like in a current season.
Yeah.
So be like, I'll just buy it next year and play the story mode
and
when it's $20.
Then they could upgrade the rosters, with that software update.
Yeah.
So next year you're not playing, you don't feel like you're playing in an outdated mode.
Right. But I do like that. I mean, honestly, there's really nothing huge keeping me from playing sports games other than the fact that I just have other games I'd rather play.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I mean, you're right in that the value is definitely increased with the story mode. I think it is appealing.
Yes.
And I guess we have been paying more if they're able to fit that in. I would say a lot of the reason why they cost so much out the gate is because they're paying for all the licenses.
No doubt. But I don't think they have to pay those every year.
I'm not sure how it works. I mean, I know that if they're going to release it, they're probably going to release it at $60 along with the rest of their new games. And they expect us to just lump them all together and be like, yeah, this is, we're not looking at the value per se. At least a lot of people, I should say, a lot of people that routinely buy sports games probably don't play as many of the other types of games anyway.
Right, so they're probably okay with just spending their annual $60 on a video game.
Maybe. Something yeah. like that. I mean, I could see that being the case for a lot of people who... I mean, I was one of those people, man.
Yeah. I lived and breathed it.
I had a football machine. It was called a Sega Genesis. And knew as soon as NFL Quarterback Club 96 came out, threw the $50 at it because I had to have it. It has Steve Young on the cover this time, and it's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be all the new players and everything, and it was worth it to me. It was worth it to me then. I didn't even think about it. I was like, yeah, that seems like a fair price. It's for the amount of hours I put into it, absolutely. But, you know, being an adult that makes his own money and thinks about how things work, I'm like, wait a minute. That shit should be worth that much. Especially if you're throwing all these new bells and whistles in it.
Right.
What was you going to say?
I was going to say, so that takes us to your final point.
Yeah, so, being the one who acquires the games, and a lot of them, you know, unfortunately, they sit on the shelf. They do. They just sit there, and I look at them, I'm like, hey, baby girl, what are you doing? And I'm like, they're just sitting here. I'm like, So I was thinking, you know, why not make it fun, put these to use, being that this is the sports episode. Why not have a little challenge? Why not try to play a few of these old? And I'm going to start with football, you know, because it is the season. You know what I mean? It is the season. It's football season.
That's cool.
And I was like, maybe I'll just pick 10 and just try to quote unquote beat them. Now, what qualifies that? Well, most of the football games, especially those in the old era, I'm leaning retro here, if I'm being honest. Most of them do have a playoff mode. You can just jump right in the playoffs, and it kind of structures a tournament. You can play through to the Super Bowl or to a championship if it's a college game.
You mean the big game?
The big game.
Won't we get sued for saying SB?
The big dance. And or you can play through a season and then earn a right to the playoffs. And then, you know, so certain ones have those stipulations. I'm willing to play up to 10 of those before the end of the year and get in there. And just to go through a lot of the games that I have just sticking around the library, you know, give them a little playtime, give them a little action, give them a little activity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people, they see the sports game, they roll their eyes. I don't want none of that. I don't like sports. I don't want whatever. Yeah, make it fun. Make it a challenge. See if you can beat 10 of them. That's what I'm going to do. Now, I did beat one the other day.
Okay. So this goes back to your deferment.
Yeah, my deferment. Yes, I said I was going to defer. I beat Bill Walsh. College football. It was a college football Saturday. I was just feeling it. Now, Bill Walsh. I didn't realize that I had a speech impediment until just this second. Bill Walsh. College football. You say it. Bill Walsh.
Bill Walsh.
You're good at it. Doesn't have the rights to the team. So it has like the states or the cities that the school's in, and so it's very in the colors. So it doesn't use mascots or anything like that. So there's like, there's Alabama, but there's also like the South Bend team, or you know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So it's, you know, but whatever. I took Pullman, Washington, and won yesterday, and it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun with it, you know? So I'm looking forward to doing that. I'm going to pick 10 of my retro football, you know, an old Madden, an old NFL quarterback club, maybe the, you know, maybe the stupid ones. Pro quarterback, I think, is the terrible one for the SNES. Just play it for the fuck of it. Just play it. And so I have 9 more to go before December 31st to beat my goal. So if anybody out there has, they're like, hey, I have a football game I remember growing up that you should play, let me know. Because I probably have it. If I don't, I'm sure it's worth $1. And I don't mind getting it. You know, I'll go get it. So that's where I'm at. What do you think about that?
Fun. Sounds like fun. That's a big commitment.
Yeah, well, I mean,
it's probably just, you know, maybe, what, 10 hours of gameplay?
Yeah, it's not terrible because a lot of them do have that playoff mode, and I'm making that a rule. So the rules are, if it has a playoff mode, play that, win the tournament, that's considered a beat it.
Okay.
If it doesn't, I do have to play through the season or a championship. That'll take longer. Hopefully not many of the games have that.
Right.
And then with default setting, so it usually comes with 5-minute quarters. The games are usually fairly quick.
What, 16 game seasons, 15, something like that?
Well, if it's pro, yeah. If it's some, you know, like I said, I'm open to some of the unlicensed ones as well. And just always pick a random team. Don't pick the best team. Just, I don't know how I do it. Just hold down and close my eyes until I'm done and then pick whatever team that is. Okay. So those are the stipulations. I'm willing to do that. I think it'll be fun.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice.
So you've already Wikipedia'd Chico and the Man.
What
is it? Tell us what is Chico and the Man.
Chico and the Man. It was an American sitcom that aired on NBC for about 4 seasons, and it starred Jack Albertson, who played Grandpa Joe in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and the OG Freddie Prinze.
Have you seen on Reddit? They have no. This is a real big sidetrack. It's a big sidetrack. But
that's fine.
Have you seen the Grandpa Joe thing on Reddit, where he's like a piece of shit? And
it's
like a whole it's a whole Reddit about it's called Grandpa Joe Hate, and the
he's
tagline
shit.
He's a lazy cunt. And if you scroll through and read all these, they're hilarious. Yeah, what a weird thing.
I know. Jack Albertson's a good actor, though. Anyway, I just wanted to validate that I was right, that Chico and the Man was what I thought it was, and I just left that Wikipedia tab open. So
can we name the episode Chico and the Man?
Let's do it.
That way no one will know it's sports until the very end.
Fuck you.
Yep. All right. I think that pretty much does it. I had a lot to talk about. You know, we didn't include racing games in this. We'll include that in a different episode. So we got a little more sporty stuff to go, probably.
Some good memories.
Yeah, dude, lots of good memories. I played so many. Mm. I mean, I could have talked at length for, and it would have been dry, and people would have been, you know, killing themselves left and right if I'd gone in any more depth.
Just mass suicides.
People just calling their friends, like, come over and kick a chair out from under me. Jeez. Stuff like that. So that pretty much does it for the episode. We are at Polykill. I am at Trav Plays Games.
I am at the McAxel.
You find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Polykill Podcast. Subscribe to our YouTube. Search Polykill. We're not quite. We don't have our own URL just yet. Mm-hmm. Rate us on iTunes or any service you use. Drop us a line over at polykillpodcast@gmail.com or send us your pet peeve story. We know what bothers you, and it's probably sports. Mm. Polykill.com is where you can find all of our stuff, including blogs, podcasts, videos, t-shirts, and whatever else you want. And cartridgeclub.org, you can reach out to us and talk to us there in the forums. It's cartridgeclub.org, short for organism.
Orgasm.
See you next time.
Peace.